celebrating micro, small and medium enterprises right here. Tali ke saath business ki baat.
Well, there's a certain thrill in talking to people who've started something from the ground up and are self-made, right? Hello and hi, you're with me, Niharika, on this podcast. And today, we are in conversation with a first-generation entrepreneur. He's the founder of Vanpros AgroVet LLP. And Vanpros is one of India's leading plant biotechnology companies. So they specialize in 100% natural and safe agricultural inputs. We're in conversation with the founder, Mr. Prabodh Mishra, and honestly, I'm quite looking forward to this chat. So let's see what has got in store for us.
Hello, Prabodhji, and thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. It's lovely to be able to chat with you today.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Same here.
So the first thing that I'm really curious to know is, since this is a first generation business, right? You were the one who started it. So what was your inspiration and what has your journey been like in this field? Because given Vanpros' product line, it's quite unique and it's quite interesting. So do you just want to, in a nutshell, your journey to us?
Actually, I have started my journey as scientist in a company known as Mahiko. So Mahiko is a seed company, and I joined Mahiko in 2005. As scientist, I was involved in some Bicky Binger research project. So that time I saw a couple of problems associated with multiple vegetable crops. And one of the major problem was Quebecor mosaic virus. And it was, you know, in my mind, because many farmers were facing same problem in India. And after Mahiko, I came in Bangalore and I joined a public company, Campson Biotechnologies. So here also I met a couple of farmers and they are facing same virus problem. And because of this, they were facing from 10% to 70% annual loss in their crops. And major crop which farmers were facing this problem like gherkins, cucurbit, banana, watermelon and chili, also in papaya. So I started some research on this Quebecor mosaic virus, and we got some good result with couple of farmers. Then in 2017, after successful demo with many farmers, we started Vanpros AgroVet with a mission to provide organic solution for plant diseases.
Absolutely, and I think your research and development comes across in your products of Vanpros, as I was reading, you know. So you are heavily into R&D, and your R&D program, I particularly observed, is also centered a lot around seaweed methods of propagation and preservation. So curious to know about this, that seaweed cultivation, is it common in India? And also, if not, what are the benefits that we could be looking at from a farming perspective? And what kind of opportunities exist in cultivation of seaweed in India?
Yeah, actually, when we started this journey, so we actually teach some farmers how to cultivate seaweed in sea, like Tamil Nadu coastal area, then Gujarat coastal area. And we started with a couple of farmers. Now, as of now, if you see in India, many farmers have adopted seaweed cultivation as farming. Like in, if you see in Mumbai beach, nearby Goa beach also, then Tamil Nadu, Gujarat and Andhra Pradesh coastal belt. So many farmers are doing this. And the best part is they can make 650 rupees to 1000 rupees a day in seaweed farming. And this is very beneficial crop. Like seaweed has many applications. So one application what we are using seaweed is as a fertilizer for the plants. Other applications not limited to agriculture, like they can be used for pharmaceuticals, nutraceuticals, and biofuels as well.
Right. So you mentioned it's used as a fertilizer for plants and also for pharmaceuticals. But then there's also a very interesting product line that Vanpros has, which is for sports surfaces, right? So that affects all sports turfs, for example, cricket pitches, if I'm not wrong, or maybe, you know, AstroTurfs as well. So can seaweed also be used in those kind of products? And also, I would want you to tell us about the opportunities that are there for sports products in particular in India.
Yeah, basically, we are supplying to many golf groups in India, like in Bangalore, there are a couple of golf. So we are supplying to these peoples. And seaweed-based products, actually, they are working very well in maintaining turf quality. Like, especially in golf or football, turf is very important. Cricket, we are not supplying as much. But especially in football and goal courses, we are supplying this product. And this is actually working very well in maintaining the turf quality of grass. So this here, we are adding seaweed, then we are adding some amino acids, and we are adding some humic acid. And not only limited to the golf and football ground only, I see a couple of societies, they are using these products in their landscape.
Right, absolutely. So from my viewpoint, you know, all of these sports turfs, well, I didn't think that it could be so technical, as in, you know, you need to maintain your sports turf specifically. But now that you talk about it, so for these kinds of products, who's your end consumer? And also, what were the roadblocks that you faced while educating them about these products that are specially for maintaining sports turfs? And did you also face any roadblocks in convincing the end consumer about the benefits of these products?
Yeah, basically, we are having a couple of other applications as well. One is sport turf. Then many farmers, they are using our products in India. And not only India, out of India also. For example, our one product, we bind Vericide, which we have made from seaweed only. And this is a very good product which can be used against Tobacco Mosaic Virus disease in crops. So, not only India, some Japanese farmers also using this product. Correct. We can see multiple applications. Like one is for disease management. One is for our products can maintain the greenery in plants, and they can enhance the yield in the plant systems, and they can improve physiology of plant. So there are multiple aspects. And as on today, we are supplying in vegetables, in grains like paddy, wheat, then in horticultures, and also in turf, and like in sport complexes, we are supplying these products.
Right. So, Prabhuji, there's a lot more to ask you on that, but I will hold that thought for a minute because it's time for a super short break. So, we'll be right back. Stay tuned. Did you know the Indian MSME sector contributes to around 45% of the country's total manufacturing output? We will be discussing some of their experiences and what makes Make in India a boon on this podcast. So, stay tuned.
Your very own MSME Success Story Show. Dali ke saath, business ki baat.
Welcome back to this conversation where we've been talking a lot about research and development and Ranpro's different product lines and also sports related products. So moving on to the next thing now.
Farmers are your major end consumers. So what about those challenges of distribution and pricing your product?
Yeah, actually, it's a major challenge we are facing. So supply chain management is a big issue in agriculture, especially if you have to supply the product to end consumer, which is living in a remote area in India. So to as of today, we are supplying pan India. Almost we are supplying 60% of our villages in India. The major roadblock is in lot of villages, transport facilities is not available as on today. So for that, what we are doing, we are connecting them with small towns where we are having distributors. So those distributors, they are having their own vehicles. They are supplying product to these farmers at village level. So this is a really tough task because we are sitting at Bangalore. Suppose some farmer need this product in Punjab and Haryana. So it took around 2 weeks of time transportation to reach in a small town. Then from there to, you know, again 2 to 4 days to reach in a particular village. So this is a very challenging task. So what we have done, we have made one more stock point in Middle India, in Madhya Pradesh. So now we can supply Pan India in 2 days time. Then of course, from big town, it took some time to deliver in village area. So maybe in 4 to 5 days, we can supply in any village in India.
Then I think distribution challenges also impact the entire business cycle, right? So say where you can supply in 2 days and on the other hand, where it takes 4 days to supply. So I think the entire cycle also gets prolonged and, you know, there's this entire exercise that you have to do to get your products to the remotest area. So from that point of view, are there any policy changes that can be implemented, you know, or for example, any changes that can be made at a larger level so that we can overcome these distribution challenges?
Basically, as of now, what I have feel, we have a lot of transports are available for supply chain management. At village level, still we have some issues are there, like transports are not available. And government is doing their best. Government is providing road infra and everything at village level also, as on today. The only problem is the big transport transport companies, they are not willing to go, you know, at village level because business is very less there. So these kind of challenges, I think, may remain there for some time. But as of now, we don't face much problem because we are planning well ahead in every season. So we overcome this type of issues now. So supply chain management is, as on today, is not a big challenge for us.
All right. Okay. So if we talk about advanced planning, could you just give an insight into what the schedule would look like for you, you know, or if you're planning a business cycle, if you're to make your products reach to a certain place. So what would your business cycle look like and how far in advance would you start planning for it?
Yeah, basically, India is actually a very big country with having many climatic zones. So, and there are always seasons for particular crop in particular region. Suppose, for example, Andhra Pradesh. So Andhra Pradesh chili season is started in September and continue up to March. So what we are doing, in August only, we started shipping our products in Andhra Pradesh 2 months ahead of time. And we keep the products in some particular distributor points. So like this, suppose in Punjab and Haryana, there are especially for the week, we plan like after Diwali to these places. Then there are some, I will give you one more example in Karnataka. So we are having some Gherkin companies. They are exporting Gherkins in actually in US and Europe, these countries. So Gherkin crop is different crop. They are doing around the year. So here, because we are based in Karnataka, so we take care of our supply chain management here very well. So here we are having 3 seasons. If you see like some area of Bihar and UP, so there paddy season will start after April. So by March only we started our production and we put the stock in place by April in these areas. So like this we are planning as per the crop and as per the season.
Okay, that makes the picture very clear that seasonal planning is involved and you know, you have to decide according to regions and climates and so many things. So how long on an average does it take for you to produce one kind of product? So let's say if I'm talking about plant nutrition or any product related to preventing diseases in plants. What is the production cycle like and how long does it take you to produce one kind of product?
Yeah, basically, suppose for example, we bind varicide. So we are having a capacity of 10 tons per day. And then our other products like Ahar, Immune or Potassiumate, that also we can make 5 tons per day. So our capacity is good. We can make the product within a day. By morning, we can start the production. By evening, we can finish the production. Then, yes, it took some time for the packing. So packing may take another 2 days. Like we are packing different containers like 250 ml, 500 ml, 1 liter, 100 ml. So you can say overall production time would be 2 to 4 days from our side.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for telling us about that. Now, you know, I've arrived at the last thing that I want to ask you right now. Research, because research is so prevalent in all your products and your emphasis is on research and development. But if I talk about the larger picture, in India, it's perhaps still a very difficult field to navigate, right? With challenges such as lack of funding. I mean, sometimes even at the university or the college level, there might not be enough funding or there might be other challenges to your research that you face. So in that respect, what can be done at the policy level to make this arena a more level playing field? And also, is there a way to equip universities and colleges in a better manner to facilitate more research?
Yeah, actually, research plays a very vital role, especially in agriculture, because we are having a lot of issues in plants. So, and we have to continuously improve our products. So research is a part of our daily routine. So here, government is having some very good initiatives like BIREC scheme. So BIREC scheme, under BIREC scheme, government is giving 50 lakhs to startups for research. Then suppose some company has done some research and they have got some product. Then under one more scheme, BIPP, government is giving almost 2.5 crore for the establishment of plant and machinery. And under private PPP mode, public-private partnership. So government is allowing universities and companies to apply for a research project as a joint venture, where money is coming to university and they put the lab in place, they start a research and final outcome they give to the company. So company can go for the commercial aspect. So I think in India, present policy is very good. We have to fine-tune these policies because a lot of entrepreneurs, they have very good idea, but they don't have very basic life skills. skill. So these sort of schemes, if somebody don't have skill in research, so they may not able to apply for this kind of grants and they are not able to get the funding. So here I think government should promote this sort of scheme for the entrepreneurs having some ideas. We can connect some universities with them, so they can do the basic research for these startup companies and get the funding from the government. So in overall scenario, what I feel, have experienced, policy is very good from government side and funding is not an issue. The only thing is entrepreneur has to equip themselves towards research and development. They have some sort of experience on lab.
Right, so that's a very new perspective that we get to hear, contrary to popular opinion, if I can put it that way. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It's been a very nice chat. It's been quite informative and educative for all of us.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
And with that, it's time for us to take your leave. It's a wrap on this episode of the podcast series. We'll be back soon with another conversation that is going to capture all your attention. So stay tuned and don't forget to like, share and subscribe to this podcast series. It's time for me, Niharika, now to say goodbye to you.
Celebrating micro, small and medium enterprises right here. Tali ke saath, business ki baat.